Okay, the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Service District for October 4th will reconvene. The first item on the open session agenda is to receive the report out of... Well, let's go ahead and have the flag salute first, if we could do that. Director Wright.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I apologize to the people in the audience that we ran a little bit over in closed session, but we did have some items to talk about. With that, then, we'll move to item number one on our open session agenda, which is to receive report out of closed session of both the September 6th meeting and the October 4th meeting. Mr. Seitz.
Yes, the board did go into closed session on two different, well, actually only one item concerning pending litigation. Under that, they considered five separate matters, the bankruptcy case, the groundwater adjudication case, the core family properties versus LOCSD, and Dubing versus County of San Luis Obispo et al. In each of those cases, they heard a report from legal counsel but took no reportable action. They did not consider either anticipated litigation nor personnel.
Thank you. Boy, my microphone is loud today, I think. The next item on our agenda, this kind of is awkward for me. I didn't want to agendize this item, but staff prevailed on me. So the second item is a presentation, certificates of recognition to me for my selection as California Special Districts Association 2012 Board President of the Year. Supervisor Gibson asked for the opportunity to come and address the board and the community.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am Bruce Gibson, 2nd District Supervisor for the County of San Luis Obispo. We have to confess, I only have one certificate. I saw on the agenda it was certificates, and he's got one. Excellent, excellent. Well, it's my pleasure to be here today to recognize the honor that you received, Mr. Ohilski, from the Special Districts Association of California. And, you know, I have a special feeling for folks who serve on boards like special districts and school boards. Often you labor in great anonymity, or you labor in front of a room full of people who aren't necessarily 100% happy, but yet you persevere and you take care of the business that needs to be taken care of. And in particular, knowing a bit about what you have worked on over the recent years, I think this honor is particularly well deserved. It's been a pleasure for me to work with you and your colleagues on this board. You know, the relationship between special districts and counties is a unique one, perhaps in the country, certainly in California. It poses an interesting set of opportunities and an interesting set of challenges. And I thank you for your service and congratulate you for your recognition, and would like to pass on a certificate that my colleagues and I have
prepared. Willingness to be so widely involved in the community and the county and all the things that you do benefit us here at home greatly. All the things you learn and information and people that you meet are resources that are tremendously valuable to all of us. Your leadership has been proven through the years. You are a fantastic president. just thinking of the bankruptcy and all the hours and hours that you've put in, and your legal expertise that you've put in there, and your cleverness to get the best that you can for this district is completely invaluable, and I just want everybody in the community to know that. But that's from me. What I've got in my hand here is a certificate from the California Legislature Assembly, certificate of recognition presented to Marshall Ohilski upon being chosen by the California Special Districts Association as the Board President of the Year, September 21, 2012, signed by Cacho Akachian.
Thank you. Now, if I could just briefly speak about this. As everybody knows that attends the meetings or watches on television, this was sprung on me at the last meeting, so I just didn't know how to respond to it at that time. But I do have to say I was in San Diego at the convention of the CSDA last week to receive the award, and one thing that became really, really clear to me is that this is not an individual award in any way, shape, or form, okay? I think the award really goes to the entire board. I think the award goes to the entire staff, including legal counsel. But I think the board also goes to the community. So I think that everybody has a significant part to play in this. Because when I was down in San Diego and talking to people and people are coming up and congratulating me, you know, I realized it really wasn't what I had done that got us this award. It's really what the board has done, what the staff has done, and what the community has done. So I think even though my name's on the award as the board president of the year, I think it's really something that the entire community earned. And I'd just like to say congratulations not just to my board and staff, but to the entire community for this. And I really appreciate everybody's support and help. So I think you should give yourself a big hand. Okay, with that, then we'll go to business. The first item on our agenda is general public comment on items not on the agenda. So we have a three-minute limit on anybody that has something that they would like to discuss that's not on the tonight's agenda. Mr. Barrow.
Hello, my name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. This is a petition that's been circulated to stop the blasting offshore by the Coast Alliance. They'll be tabling at the Harbor Festival both Saturday and Sunday. There will be a parade event on the water at 2 o'clock with boats, and they'll have their T-shirts and banners on. So if you haven't taking a chance to find out about it, you can go to this website. Would you mind looking at this, please? Thank you. StopOceanBlasting.org, and they have information there about this, why you should support stopping the blasting and killing the marine mammals offshore. National Resources Defense Council has said they are opposing it officially. That's a big one. And then Greenpeace has over 100,000 signatures against it. They oppose it. There are people signing up on Facebook. If you want to go to Facebook, you can sign the petition opposing it. There are still four or more permits to be gotten before they can accomplish getting out there and blasting. The blasting is every 15 seconds explosions that cause 250 decibels of noise, killing or damaging the fish and wildlife. There are three fishermen's organizations locally who are opposing it. So that's just the beginning. I think Mothers for Peace is considering a statement against it.
To follow up with what Al was speaking about, the sonic testing that is supposed to determine whether Diablo's any safer than we know that it isn't. It's an aging plant. It has 12 years left before it's pretty much done its lifetime cycle, and then we will pretty much pay to replace it, if that's what we so choose to do, or if they can prove that it's worth it. A similar situation, and something that you can be involved in and should have been involved in, and I hope will take up some time to take a look at, is the Broderson leach field site that is part of the disposal part of the project. If 400,000 gallons out of 1 million that's to be disposed of, treated wastewater every day, has no place to go, then are we just willing to say, oh, well, it didn't work. We went ahead and spent $1.4 million out of our sewer dollars to cut out 67 ancient eucalyptus trees and six very old oak trees, because we now know that the saltwater intrusion is come along underneath in that lower aquifer, that project is no longer feasible. Is anybody interested in taking that issue forward? Because the alternative might be to put a major pipeline of purple pipe along Highland and have that feed into all the abandoned septic tanks. It's been proposed, and the county's not going to do anything about it unless our CSD says, and I think it's Golden State's concern too, that we cannot afford to lose 400,000 gallons a day into a saltwater intruded part of our basin. So I would ask and beg that you consider contacting the county and asking for an evaluation of that, whether that's a feasible, reasonable use of the sewer dollars when it's obviously not going to work. The Tri-W Basin, we've all seen it's being turned into a park right now. They're now putting a whole walk circle in there. Those are amenities. This is actually a piece of property that was to be restored. Restored, we know what that means. Bring it back to what it was. It never had these paths. We're spending extra money, and it will be a lovely asset to the community, but at the same time, we shouldn't be paying for it. I think Mr. Gibson should step up to the plate, and so should Pandora Nash, and get that funding for those parts of that project paid for out of parks money, because they intend on taking it over in time. It is also not a basin, so when we have El Nino this year and we have some heavy extreme water and it goes off on the end, I hope somebody's ready to sue the county for such a bad design, because it's supposed to be a basin. There's no collection. It isn't a basin. It is a runoff. And if that water doesn't perk, it's going to be a serious mess. And then lastly, Dig Los Osos. When are we going to hear from them publicly? An article in the paper? Anything? Hello? Thanks.
DigLosOsos.com, that's the...
Right.
I dig Los Osos. good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to you about two things that are not on your agenda. One I hoped would be on tonight is the seismic testing project. There is some reading material on the back table. I do believe that you will take the subject up at your next meeting. Doing that, I would ask that you put out maybe a press release and invite new people to participate. It's a very complex subject, and I'd like to see more participation from the community. Certainly as the cry gets louder, people are more interested and they want their questions answered, and I think this is always a good forum for the public. Something else that's not on your agenda that I thought would be is a report about the ISJ, the Interlocutory Stipulated Judgment. I was under the impression that Mr. Seitz was going to give one. And what item is that then? Because it's under administrative reports. I guess I wanted a banner with his name on it that said that. Oh, it's in the legal. There we go. I'll save my comments for then, and they'll be good. I promise.
Frank Salio. My first question to the board is, did you ever get any information about the testing that was conducted, the seismic testing along Los Osos Valley Road, and I believe it was Clark Valley Road? I don't know if you remember. They had all those sensors every 10 yards, it looked like. I didn't hear any results from that. And my question to Marshall and the board is, did you get any information from that testing that the community could review, or was it public somewhere and I just happened to miss it? The other issue I'd like to talk about is a continuation of our seawater intrusion. This whole county is having problems. Pastor Robles having big problems.
So I've got my brownie badge on for doing service. I don't usually show up at meetings, but I show up when I think I should. Here's an extra. My comments are about the sewer and the lateral. You know, I'm a senior and on fixed income, and I have concerns, and I like to follow everything closely. I asked the county out to look at the sewer lateral location based on the plans that I had received, and I was concerned because it went through my patio underneath a retaining wall and out through a big berm that the county had established outside my property line because of downhill water flow. And I thought about it for a while, and so I invited them back again, and I was concerned. What I found out was that my septic location was slightly off by 8 or 10 feet. The location was based on prior work by L Septic and dated in the year 2000. The elevations were also off by about 2 feet and indicated that I would need a grinder. However, the county staff noted this and recommended that the engineering consulting team should note changes and eliminate any need for a grinder. The problem I have with this, what does that mean?
We have 1 minute left. 1 minute.
What that means is that they don't have the accurate information, and I was really concerned about that. They're going to turn it in, but I was also told that I would not be guaranteed any changes would be made based on the information from county staff at my property. So I could be charged for a grinder that I don't need. Then I was told there was a timing issue. We talked about timing, and I'm very concerned because it seems like we're spending a lot of money, $26.2 million for this side of Las Osas that I'm on, and for plans that lack adequate details that need to be revised. This should be a major concern, and we should know about it. Now, what happens if a whole bunch more people like myself call up and find out that there are inaccuracies in the detail? Is that it? I'm over? Oh, well, I suggest this be done soon. I'm very concerned about this.
And you have sent a copy of this to Bruce Gibson, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I don't know if that'll help, but I did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I've been asked to remind everyone that we have a very important election coming up on November the 6th. Voting at any time at the Board of Supervisors' offices, meaning the county clerk's office, at the government center on Monterey Street, is going to start on November the 9th, on October the 9th, and you can vote any time you so desire, as long as it is between the hours of 8 and 5. If you decide to vote there at those hours, please bring your absentee ballot so that they can notice where you reside and where you are listed within the voter registration. We have a number of very important ballot measures that will be coming up. And one of them is that something that most of us are very concerned about, and that is our children and our adult education. And that is a measure that has a proposition that needs to be taken into consideration very seriously when you vote. And it is a proposition that is on the ballot as Proposition 30. There is another one that is in contest with Proposition 30, and it is number 38. And it is one that could feasibly be approved in contention with Proposition 30. We also have another proposition that affects teachers, firemen, all emergency services personnel, postal services, all of those who belong to it.
It seems like there's been a shift recently in the advocacy locally has shifted to this seismic testing. And I think we need to keep in mind that within days, and they've already dug some holes, pipes are going to go in Los Osos. And there's still some outstanding issues that have not been settled that are under the purview of this board to weigh in on, find out about, question, and have input. First off, the implementation plan for the water conservation component of the wastewater project is coming to the Board of Supervisors sometime in the future. At Gibson's office hours last week or the week before, whenever it was, he said it may not happen now until November. If it happens before your next board meeting, I just want to make sure that there's enough and the appropriate representation from this board and staff at that meeting to voice the concerns of this community. I'm sure there's going to be other people there voicing the concerns, but this is a huge component and a huge cost to the district, to the prohibition zone, as a component of this project. Another thing that's going to come back into the forefront in the near future, and maybe not immediate future, is the rates and charges ordinance is going to have to be redone for the wastewater project. I've heard that now from two people in the know. I'm in the process of putting together a position paper because based on the county's own documents, the commercial district is going to have a substantial increase in their bill. Not necessarily the little offices, things like that, but if you own a restaurant, a laundromat, a grocery store, a gymnasium, a bed and breakfast, those type of things, your bill is going to be substantially higher than the $110 average that the county intimated when they put the rates and charges ordinance out. There's been some shifting of cost between the categories that they can't refute at this point. That's an issue. We also have the issue of the contract with the school board. The only one that's dragging their feet on this at this point about getting that corrected and getting the correct number out there is the county. Is the county. And they were the ones that behind the scenes put that forward. Keep these on the radar, gentlemen. They're important issues that need to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. I just did want to comment myself on one thing that you, Richard, just raised about the Water Conservation Implementation Plan. It's our understanding that the county is taking the comments that they received from the public, from the LOCAC, from LOCSD, and from RAC, and is actually reincorporating them into the plan rather than just taking the plan in its original language. So I think it is being modified. How those comments will be incorporated, obviously, we don't know till we see the final draft. But the board has taken a position, and when it was originally scheduled for last Tuesday, we were intending on being there, both the general manager and Vice President Muthart were going to be there because I was out of town, but we will have full representation when that item is heard by the Board of Supervisors because the board feels it is important to us and we have some problems with the plan as it's currently drafted. Did you want to add on to that, Leonard?
Well, yeah. No, I just wanted to agree with what you're saying because I've seen some evidence myself that they are actually taking our comments into account, but I do want to also, it's frustrating because one of the points of our comments was to expedite retrofit, and so this is kind of a bittersweet. I'm glad they're doing it, but it is putting us back a whole another month or so before we actually get some toilets retrofit, so I would want to recognize that frustration as well, so I understand that.
Yep. Does staff have any other comments regarding public comment? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll go ahead into the administrative and committee reports. First ones we have are administrative reports. The CAL FIRE fire manager's report? Or, pardon me, fire manager. You're a fire manager, but I guess.
Mr. President, members of the board, I appreciate it once again the opportunity to come here and present to you the August 2012 Chiefs Report. Prior to start works, making sure they understand how to get out if their bedroom's on the second floor or in the back half of the house, choosing a meeting place outside the house once they exit so that you can get a positive head count to make sure that everyone is out. And then as you test your smoke alarms twice a year as the clocks are set forward or in back, that you do an escape drill, and practice those escape routes with the family. So it's very important. If anyone would like assistance with that, Station 15 would be happy to help. To celebrate Fire Prevention Week, as you've previously heard, Station 15 will be conducting their open house on Saturday, October 13th in the Vons Shopping Center. Once again, we appreciate the support of the Vons Shopping Center to assist us and or allow us to do the open house there. We've been very successful in the last 4 or 5 years, as I remember. Station 15 on October 13th will be work down there between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And we know we'll have Smokey and Sparky down there, as well as fire engines from around the cooperating fire stations, a bulldozer if it's available from headquarters on Santa Rosa and San Luis, as well as a wildland engine out of Cayucas. We also anticipate call volume allowing San Luis Ambulance, the Sheriff's Department, or Sheriff's Office, excuse me, and California State Parks. So we look forward to having everybody down there. Getting back to the August Chiefs Report, in the month of August, there's 139 calls. Seven of those were simultaneous calls, and three requiring advanced life support. There were 71 calls for medical aids, 37 requiring advanced life support. Three were reported as traffic collisions, and there were 10 fires. There are miscellaneous, another 40 or so as other incidents. Company 15 came back a total of 12 times to assist CAL FIRE and County FIRE at Station 15, as well as to respond to emergencies. Engine 215 in the month of August was dispatched with five other engines in what we call a strike team configuration. They went up to the Y Fire in Yolo, spent a couple of days up there working with the crews in the Yolo area on this incident. It was a very large incident. They worked 24-hour shifts and defended structures and did some perimeter control out there. Once that was wrapped up, due to the fire siege in Northern California, they went from there to the Rush incident in the Modoc area. This is actually the largest fire in California recorded history. They were one of only about 25 engines that were up there at that time. They worked in both, as I understand it, both Modoc and Lassen County, totaled out at the end of the incident about 345,000 acres of sagebrush on the Bureau of Land Management land. Upon returning, they spent another two and a half days in San Luis County covering stations because County Fire, CAL FIRE, had well over 15 engines out and approximately 140 people out of the county at that point. So I figure, 16, 17 days out of the station, your reserve firefighters, with help from CAL FIRE and County FIRE, did that. And, of course, there will be compensation coming back to the district, as we discussed in the Emergency Services Committee meeting a couple weeks ago. Item four, we did some training in the trench rescue props, and probation firefighter Rhodes, who was hired here a couple of months ago, continued working on his task book. He's a paramedic out of the area, so he's been a little bit slower, but we still are strongly encouraged with his work and what we see in him. As we have previously discussed, in the midsummer we were notified that we were nominated and were approved for a $10,000 grant through the Fireman's Fund Insurance Company. We were nominated by John Hamby, and as I understand it, he has in-laws in the community of Los Osos, and that's how he picked us. And so we certainly appreciate his support, as well as DeWitt Stearns Insurance Group. What we actually applied for was carbon monoxide detectors, as we discussed in my presentation last Chief's Report. Reserve firefighter boots. We're upgrading them from an older style big rubber boot to something that's a little bit more form-fitting, so it's more secure footing for them. It's better feeling for their ankles. We anticipate less injuries, and then some paramedic supplies, specifically when they need to intubate, which means they need to put a tube down into the lung to put air into that person's lungs. This actually has, you know, they go into it now, lift the lungs up, lift the tongue up, and kind of visualize down there. This actually has a camera down there with a little fiber optics with a little screen, so they can put a camera down your throat, basically, see where they want to put the tube and put it in and get it in first time every time. That's at least the hope. So it's a great tool. There are a couple other ambulance units out here using it currently. We'll probably be one of the first fire departments to use that if we're successful, and we're looking forward to that. We have received positive information back from the Firemen's Fund and anticipate hoping to get the final word here shortly. Working with the engineers, I have not received anything back from either the company or from the engineers for the final proof for the general manager to sign, but we do anticipate that coming shortly. They've just been working on it. As we previously reported, the chassis in the cab is being worked on, is being built now. We anticipate that coming out of the shop sometime in the next couple weeks now, which leads me to believe that we'll receive the final drawings back for the buildup in the next couple weeks, because they can't proceed until that happens.
Yeah, Director Baltimore.
One quick question. So the mic?
Oh, there we go. So the fire engine is now in South Dakota?
The fire engine, as I understand it, is still in Milwaukee, being built, the cab and the chassis. It'll be moved once it's built to, or once it's completed, from at the factory to the company that's going to be actually doing the build-up.
Okay. And then just a comment, again, just to note the quality, the high quality we have here is our fire department. I understand it is part of the regular training, but we are about to have lots of open trenches, and you know they are currently up going through their training in trench rescue. So they, you know, we have a very proactive fire and rescue department, and we are lucky.
A quick one.
Yeah, Vice President Moodhart.
The grant proposal for the Fire Safe Council.
Yes, sir.
$77,000. Is that, I mean, that, is that similar to what's been done previous years for that?
And yes.
Is that a, I don't want to say a lock, but is that something that's likely?
It's actually a bit more. We're requesting a bit more than we have in the past. We're looking for the shaded fuel breaks. We're looking for the signage. We're looking for some chipping days, so we've extended a little bit what we've normally done, and that's basically having a chipping day other than what the district has done, as well as some fire prevention signage. It's approximately double of what we've asked for in the past. What we found as we were working with the Fire Safe Council is that there's not a lot of company or not a lot of communities out there that are asking for money. They had a portion allotted for giving out to the communities. So we actually asked for a bit more, and they whittled us down a little bit. But it's if I'm answering your question, it is a bit more than we've done in the past.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Wright.
Well, I just wanted to point out, too, that in regards to the fire truck, I think through the fire crew's diligence, I think you've saved around $18,000 on the cost just by keeping an eye on the project, fine-tuning it as they go. So it's you're very much on it.
It's not the final amount, but
no.
You are correct. Yes, we are working on to get that down.
Right.
No. Yeah, I think what you're saying, Mike, is during the process they're keeping a fine eye on it. At this point, we're $18,000 to the good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll move on to the next item, which is the utility department report.
Is this on? Okay. Good evening, Fresno Hilsky Board, staff, and public. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to give the Utilities Department report. I did want to first mention that effective October 1st, the single-use plastic bag ordinance went into effect, and so that means no more plastic bags. And we do have some free in the back here and also at the district office. If anybody in the whole area wants to come, they're welcome. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll get on to my report. This is for the month of August. First, the production for the month of August was 23.8 million gallons, and it represents a decrease in production from last year by 0.8%. And 43% of the water service area was billed for 19.7 million gallons for the period of July 11th through September 10th, and revenue was $140,438. And both revenue and consumption increased by 4.3% and 3.7%, respectively. I've added the production by well site and runtime hours, and you can see that Palisades runtime has been significantly reduced, while 3rd Street and South Bay were increased. And there are tables and graphs attached for your reference. During the month of August, the crew provided weekly water sampling. But this concludes my report. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Yeah. Vice President Moodhart, if you have a question, you're just looking at me plaintively.
I wanted to ask you about the run hours on the runtime hours. Now, I know that, you know, you're shifting things to smaller capacity pumps and things like that. Do you have a feel for, you know, the run hours are like 1,643 versus 1,283 for last year, for a little bit less water. The cost of running a smaller pump at more time, is this a cost difference, a significant cost difference as far as having to run these pumps longer, even though they're lesser capacity?
I haven't looked into that, but I can do that.
Okay, I'm just curious if that, if that was something significant, if it's something we needed to try to up the size of the other pumps, if it would pay for itself eventually,
It's based on the well casing. Mm.
So we're limited to the size of the pump there?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was great that even with the loss of rain, or the lack of rain, that we were still able to produce less water. So that's kudos to our customers for conserving, because it's been hot and it's been dry. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Director Wright.
I just had a question on the well log summary. The 3rd Street well, like the static water level, that section there, pressure PSI, there's no data versus the others. What's
on which one?
The 3rd Street. It's on the well log summary.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing soundings weekly on those.
Okay. Maybe, so, but it doesn't get reported out on?
It gets recorded differently, not every single day on here, because they normally just do soundings once a month. So.
Okay.
That is my error right there on the chlorine used in the Aquamag. They don't put Aquamag at 3rd Street, but I can keep track of the chlorine there. So
okay.
That one I'll open up.
Just had a question. Thanks.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, then we'll get to the District Administrative Department report.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President and board members. The department, utility billing, the crew went out and did 1185 meters, which generated bills to total $140,438.78 in revenue. We had 218 late notices, and also in the flyer there was a two-sided full-page insert. One side showing the bi-monthly water rates that went into effect on September 1st, and the other side providing information on meter box maintenance so that citizens know that it tells you how to clear the brush, weeds, and growth around your meter to make it easier for our field crew to read the meters. In addition, it's usually the 10th of the month that they go out and do the testing of the meter reading monthly, depending on it's bi-monthly for each property. But we just want to make sure that they know we need to make sure dogs are tied up and they are not running loose, because that is a hazard for our meter readers. The district supported the EcoSlow coastal cleanup this last month. And in San Luis Obispo, we had over 1,000 volunteers. We picked up 2,500 pounds of debris and 207 pounds of recyclable in various sites in San Luis Obispo. Statewide, it was 320 tons. So thank you for that. Another thing that's on here is the GPS system. The county was looking for the wastewater project to temporarily install a GPS system. That has been installed, but it's been installed at South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Road, where the contractors are being housed right now. And I'm told that they're going to break ground on Monday. So that should everybody be aware that that is forthcoming. I ended up going to the county EOC and doing a tour last month. September was Emergency Preparedness Month. I encourage all of the citizens to have an emergency preparedness kit and a traffic a way to contact people outside of the area. Two subcommittees to pursue information for them on hydraulic fracturing. They approved the MOU for the IRWM program, and this is going to the Board of Supervisors on the October 23rd meeting. They talked about and had a meeting prior to our meeting on how to submit for the Phase 2 of Prop 84 grant, which we already have a grant in, but those are due on, by the end of October. And they talked about the resource management system biannual report, which will be given by Planning, Health, and Public Works in the near future on December 8th at the Board of Supervisors. And the planning one will be vetted into the RAC. So, and then the last thing is, I did put outside on the back table and distributed at your dais's letters from the county on the seismic testing. And I was looking for direction from the board if you want to direct me to write a letter in support of the County of Board of Supervisors position, and I'm looking for that direction.
We'll do that at the end. I got a couple of questions, though, because that was also coming up under discussion of future agenda items. But,
oh, okay. Thank you.
We can do that now, but I have a couple of questions. Just on the RAC, I know that we had problems with having our alternate approved by the Board of Supervisors. Have that been taken care of?
Yes. I was listed on the sign-in sheet.
Okay.
And Leonard was as the regular
So after 8 months, they finally got it right. Is that
yes.
It? Okay. And then just one thing, one other thing that I have is the insert that went in with the meter box about meter box maintenance with the water bills, I was just shocked at how many people actually read that, because I got more comments from people in the public about that insert than anything else we've ever put out.
Oh, wow, that's good to know.
So I was just really surprised at how much, first of all, how many people read it,
yeah.
But second of all, that one item about the water meter maintenance would had that much impact. So it just shows me that people actually do read those inserts. So maybe it was the photo of the meter box that did it. I don't know what, but
well,
I'm basically giving out some kudos to staff, because that obviously that insert did have an impact with our.
And I would encourage the customers to continue to read those inserts as time goes on.
Does anybody else have any other questions for staff?
I have a comment, I suppose. The GPS equipment, it didn't go unnoticed that they were negotiating with us to put it on our tank, and we drew up documents, and yet they chose to put it somewhere else. Is that what I'm understanding?
We were originally looking at the 10th Street tank, We told them that we couldn't do the 10th Street tank because we were in the midst of a rehabilitation of that tank, and it wouldn't be until October 11th that we would be able to have the project completed. We're actually ahead of schedule, but not by much. They said, oh, that's fine, that's fine, and we were talking to them about the possibility of doing a two-step process. Then they shifted gears one time when Battalion Chief Venters went and they wanted to use the South Bay Station, Station 15. And we had some concerns, so that's when we brought legal in. We had concerns previously because what if somebody fell, tripped on the dirt, something, you know. So we were looking at some type of indemnification process. And we submitted that to them in draft form. And then they got back and said, well, maybe it's not between the county and us. Maybe it's the contractor. And then next thing you know is they were looking at other sites and picked the South Bay and Los Osos Valley Road.
Okay.
Bottom line is we did have expenses.
Yes.
Expenses on that. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where you're going.
That was it. And I just, it's unfortunate.
We did get an apology email, I believe, but I don't think we got any offer to pay our legal expenses.
Yeah, I was about to say, so our legal counsel accepted the apology as their payment.
Well, you'll have to ask him that question.
Well, that was one thing I said when we started was, you know, we would need to draft up, if you have an agreement, we would need to, you know, have the legal look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay, then the last issue that you raised was, do we want to direct staff or do we want to agendize the item or how do we want to deal with the seismic stuff? So that I had intended on talking about later about future agenda items, but can we just talk about it now briefly, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know what your pleasure is on this, whether, I mean, there, I haven't talked to you about this, so do we want to agendize it? Do we just want to direct staff to write a letter? Because it's really a policy decision, so...
Okay, is appealing.
Well, if it's doable.
If it's doable, and if not, a special meeting would be...
I mean, I don't want to commit to something that doesn't happen. I mean, for a number of reasons, they may have it on a date that we can't attend, we don't have a quorum or whatever.
Okay.
So.
But my preference, though, would be a joint meeting, and if not, then a special meeting.
I mean, yeah.
My preference would be a special meeting. I would rather...
Well, it's not going to be the regular meeting just because of the time frame involved. So it will be a special meeting. Whether we can do a joint meeting with LOCAC or we have our own special meeting, that's something we can direct staff to pursue. But
well, when does comment have to be in? Do we know?
The meetings, in order to get it included in the first agenda report, it has to be done by the end of the last Thursday of this month.
Okay.
So that's the time frame. And like I said, I have talked to Vicki about it, and my understanding, and somebody from LOCAC could correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding from Vicki was that they were trying to get some outside experts to be able to attend that so they would have some experts that they could rely on rather than just going on, for lack of a term, better term, hearsay. I don't know. Maybe they were talking to you. But I think we can direct staff to go ahead and either, A, see if we can go ahead and then do that joint meeting with LOCAC, or secondly, if that's not doable, to go ahead and set up a special meeting of our own in that time frame, which, would be in the next 2 weeks.
Yep. Hope.
And if we have a special meeting, what type of experts would you be calling on?
Cannot bring anybody. We can't afford to bring anybody in. We just had a long bankruptcy discussion. So
sure.
I think in that case, we would have to rely on Director Baltimore's expertise and Director Baltimore's connections to see if we could get in some outside parties to be able to discuss that. So.
I know there is a Los Osos resident who's a marine biologist. He might be at Cal Poly, so... We might want to invite.
Well, I think we can. Yeah, I think, you know, we just got to see A, when we can do it, and B, who we can get. But
okay.
I think any resources that anybody has of that nature, if you can just forward that on to staff, and then staff can work with us on our schedules and work with them on their schedules. But again, I'd like to lay out first that we would try to do the joint meeting first, if that's possible, and then if that
for whatever reason doesn't work out, then we'll go ahead and generate our own special meeting.
Okay, and I think the framework for this, I don't want it to be whether we should send a letter supporting the Board of Supervisors letter. I don't think that's how we should frame the issue, but rather just examine the question and then write a letter according to that.
Well, yeah, I have two concerns about that. First of all, the timing, because we're not going to be able to bring it back to the board. So,
okay.
We're going to have a draft of something to look at.
Okay.
But secondly, and here's where I think the really issue comes up, in my mind anyways, and obviously there's five board members, so the four other board members may have a different opinion. But if it's outside our purview, then I have a problem with it. We can broaden our purview. If it was going to cause a tank to collapse, that's clearly within our purview,
Right.
So, but I don't want to get out into esoteric things that are outside of our purview. So I think that the discussion has to be within some parameters. If you look at the Morro Bay letter, for example, they talked about the impact on the fishing industry and the recreational on land industry. The county's letter addresses, the mitigation impacts on land and in sea. So I think that, we need to, at sea thing really
tie
isn't
it
our,
into yeah, exactly. one of our functions, right?
Like, it was brought up today by some of the general public comment speakers about, recreational opportunities and tourism and things like that. Well, we do have, but again, we're a service provider. We're not, a land use entity. So we do have restricted power. So I would just like to make sure that we do keep it within the scope of our, authority. Cambria is considering writing a letter. Avila has written a number of letters, but clearly they have a direct impact because the majority of their income revenue comes from the fishing industry. So I think, that would be my only concern. We do have to have a viable discussion where we have some framework to talk about, and then secondly, that there does have to be some constraints of the scope that we're talking about.
Sure.
Director,
well,
Vice President Muthart?
Yeah, I want to reiterate that not being in our purview, because we could easily get into something that is really not effective. We could spend a lot of time, we could spend a lot of money, possibly. Time is money, in my opinion. Doing something that, we're a water company and it really isn't going to affect us that greatly. And I just want to
agenda because we just did that. Okay, so then that moves us to the District Legal Counsel's report, the status of the ISJ.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The audience hasn't heard me speak much since I've been taken over temporarily from my brother, so you're going to figure out now whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. The ISJ resulted from litigation that was filed by the district in order to adjudicate the groundwater basin. What happened in that was that a couple of the defendants, as is our right, sought to remove it from San Luis Obispo County to another one, and we realized at that point that it has become very expensive. So instead, what was placed was what's known as the ISJ. The ISJ is generally meant to cover the formation or the determination of a basin management plan. In that ISJ, they talk about seven steps to get to that point. And my report tonight is basically going to discuss where we're at on those points. And I can consider the first two as one. That being a hydrologic assessment of the basin, its water resources, and safe yield, and then the development of a strategy for maximizing the reasonable beneficial use of the basin water resources while ensuring long-term integrity and viability of the basin as a potable water supply, and including in that each party, including water quantity, water quality, and the sustainability of environmentally sensitive areas within or influenced by the basin hydrology. I can basically advise the public that a draft of both those elements is in place and being reviewed by the parties. It takes unanimous decision by all the parties to release any portion of the basin management plan. And at this point, we have not achieved that vote that would allow us to release those parts for review. The second is item is the equitable sharing of costs related to data gathering and analysis and the development and implementation of the Basin Management Plan. That's something that I've been involved in my brief time with the board, at least in the most recent past. I can tell the audience that essentially there is a plan. It has been reviewed and is in the process of being reviewed with the fourth party to the agreement, which would be the County of San Luis Obispo. But again, that has been developed in its basic form, and again, that will be a part of what gets released when we get the three votes to go ahead and do that. Section D basically was the purpose of the original groundwater litigation, and that is a quantification of each party's rights to rely on basin water resources. In that regard, it is in draft form, again, but I can tell from most recent meetings is that there's a ways to go in terms of reaching a consensus in regards to that point. Part E was the strategies to maximize grant funding opportunities for the ongoing Basin Management Plan implementation. And I'm using Rob's words now, that is opportunity-driven, but we are looking for those resources. Our staff is looking for those resources. And at least early on, we got some monies from the Chevron litigation. That's the basic report. There were a couple other components of it, which are the interconnection plan between the systems and the cost sharing for additional studies. I can advise the public that the county is cooperating in terms of cost sharing for additional studies, and I can advise the public that the interconnection plan is in place, but again in draft form, and we don't have the three votes necessary to release that in draft form. There are meetings set, at least two that I know that are on the calendar right now. Those will basically be amongst the purveyor group, which involves the district, Golden State, and S&T, and the second meeting involves the purveyor group and the county. My best estimate is that we could possibly have a releasable document maybe in the first quarter of next year. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of the board? Okay, so with that then, is anybody here to give a LOCAC report? Oh, thank you.
I'm Carolyn Atkinson from LOCAC, and an extension of Broderson North to Morro Bay at the Audubon Sweet Springs. But anyway, if you don't understand that, we do have the district maps on our website, which is up and running, and we have a really good web person now. So it's locac.info, so you could check that out for see if what district you live in. Also coming up, the Cal Poly City and Regional Planning Department have been invited by the county to perform a series of urban design conceptual studies in Los Osos. And the studies will help the county develop ideas for the general plan update. Cal Poly Professor Vincent Del Rio hopes the students will come up with out-of-the-box thinking for several in-need areas of Los Osos. Students have already begun interviewing residents of and LOCAC members, and students will include input from the community via an online survey as well as public meetings. One is October 11th from 6 to 8 at the Los Osos Middle School. And there will also be a public workshop on October 29th, which, let's see, 6 to 8, also at the Monarch Grove Elementary School. Anyway, we were looking for, you know, lots of public input. I handed all the members a flyer on it. And for the public, you can we're hoping you'll post at the CSD office. And you can also find out about it from the LOCAC website. Just we'll have a link to, there's an online survey, and that you can directly do the survey with them instead if you can't make it to the public meetings. That's it.
Thank you. And that's locac.info again, is that the
website? Yeah, locac.info.
Because I know last time it wasn't up and operating. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the districts are on our website, too, for LOCAC. Is that not true?
We have a link on our website.
Yeah. So okay. they can link through from our website to your website,
great,
too. Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. That gets us to the Standing Advisory Committee reports, the emergency services. I don't know, Mike, we don't have a lot to report on.
No, we don't.
I think the primary thing that we discussed was moving forward at our next meeting, we're going to go ahead and have strategic planning for the upcoming year, as well as a strategic review of what we've done for the past year. So there's some items that we have on our plate that we might want to look at, which is another firefighter change, or as to the level of service, and then we talked a little bit about setting up some sort of long-term program for the maintenance of the fire breaks that were done last year. So, and we had an update on the fire engine and then the calls. So I think that was pretty much what we did at the last ESAC meeting.
Well, I think one thing, too, I think it's going to come back to us, or hopefully come back to us, is the fire safety or the fire water flow issue.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a survey. Chief Veneris has been really on it, but we have a water purveyor in the area that's dragging their heels. And it's not us.
Okay. That issue was brought up by Mr. Miller, and I think that item is being resolved.
Okay.
I quite frankly, I think that it went under the table, and it just sort of lost attention, but I think we brought it back up on the top of the agenda list, so I think people will be paying more attention to that now.
Yeah, I believe it's been, 3 years since we've been trying to get this moved forward, just to survey the water flow.
Well, actually, after talking to Rob about it, it's more complicated than I thought it was, but it's not that complicated.
Right.
But I think that it's just a matter of that it just fell off the top of the list, so I think that's going to be done. And I know Susan's talked.
Yes, I've talked to the water purveyor, and the issue is going to be of confidentiality. This is information that they do not normally issue out. So we will have to come into an agreement with either the fire or the district to protect that information, just like we protect all of our accounts.
Okay.
Now that we beat fire flows to death. Okay, so then can we go to Utility Advisory Committee, please?
Yes.
I'm going to excuse myself for a minute, so you got the meeting and your report.
Well, I kind of wish you were here. my UAC report, I'm going to talk about a couple of things because we're going to need to actually make board recommendation on percent shortage of water supply. Since we cannot feasibly measure this in our basin, we must base our shortages on another criteria to trigger enforceable water conservation measures. In short, it was written more for like reservoirs and things like that. It was suggested by our district engineer that we could base our determinations of water shortages on the current safe yield of the basin, as this measurement will be annually updated as part of the basin management plan put forth by the ISJ.
This is an interruption of the meeting, and so we're going to have to start asking people to leave if we can't conduct the meeting. So, thank you.
The committee preferred to use the measurements that are more under our control and directly related to the district's ability to provide water to its customers and not be so dependent on other purveyors. So there were a number of indices suggested by our facility manager that we could help measure help us measure or determine changes in our water supply, including well depth, sounding, recovery, storage and emergency situations. So these indices could be used in combination to help determine the level of conservation required to mitigate a water shortage situation. The committee and public suggested looking at emergency ordinances from other agencies, such as NAPOMO and Cambria, as a guide for making revisions. Staff suggested, or actually the committee suggested, consulting with geologist Spencer Harris for advice. The revisions to our ordinance must extend to the amount of conservation required at each stage. So, for an example, the current usage limit for stage two is 234 gallons a day. Well, this is more than the 50 gallons per day per person for a four-member household. So you can see we're quite outdated, even in the numbers that say this is an emergency. You can only use this much. It's more than we're asking people to use in normal right now. So here's the recommendation. The committee recommends that staff evaluate possible internal measurements, research other ordinances, and consult with geologist Spencer Harris to develop revisions to the ordinance. Other considerations to the revisions should include regulation of unmetered wells in the district and concurrent increase of rates with emergency conservation measures. Okay. Moving on to the next item, we discussed the inventory report at length. Committee was generally impressed by the level of detail included in the inventory list. The emerging theme of the discussion was that in order for this document to be useful, it must be maintained as a living document. So if you add, for instance, life expectancy to an item where it's applicable, you basically have an outline for your CIP. It's basically a capital improvement plan as it stands. So it would only be necessary for the board to approve annual priorities each year. So it appeared to us, or at least to me, that the only thing missing was board policy mandating the requirements to continually update the document and outline our expectations of what the document should provide. So the recommendation is that in conjunction with the Finance Committee, that we place this item on a future agenda to discuss board policy regarding the format and maintenance of the inventory document to be used for strategic and capital improvement planning. Okay, so that is my report. So there's two items there that need board direction.
Right. Before we get to direction, does anybody have any questions? Okay, if I understand this correctly, the first thing that the committee is requesting is that the board request that staff do research on the ordinance redo. And I know I'm just taking it to its base words here. So I think that seems reasonable, because I don't think anybody disputes the ordinance needs to be redone. And if we could have staff prepare the research and then take it back to the committee, would be helpful.
Correct. That's what's been left out, but it was just mentioned. Goes back to the committee, right, for the committee to get that information.
I took that off at the very end because I wanted to make sure the board talked about that. But
no, I think that's not something that this board wants to talk about without having gone through the committee process.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So does anybody have any, problems with having staff take that as one of their tasks?
Yeah. Because I would like them to actually, do the research. And what does that mean? A recommendation? Say that I recommend these changes, or I would almost rather see. Well, let's allow them to make an actual draft if they want.
That's
and
right.
And look at it that way, and have us look at the draft. So because I think staff.
You are the two guys on the committee, so I'm going to defer to what you guys.
I want them to be able to go as far as they feel that they can, because I think they're qualified to do that.
To staff to do the research and then prepare a draft ordinance. I mean, that's fine.
And then whether you like to draft or don't like to draft, that's up to your committee, and then we can decide how to proceed at that point.
But we need to confirm also that they have adequate time to do this. I don't.
Well, let me make a suggestion. How about if they do the research and then make a report to your committee, and then after they make that report, then they can go ahead and do the draft. So it'd be sequential that way. So you can see if you're happy with their research or not. Not you guys, but the committee can.
I don't know.
I can do that.
We just give direction to staff right now to do research and make a recommended draft. And then if we want to fine tune it after public comment or towards the end, can we do that?
Yeah.
And that would give public something more specific to talk about too. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean that's fine if that. I mean I just.
I just don't want to limit him.
No, I understand. The research part, I think everybody's fine with the research part. It's just what product they're going to come up with at the end. And I think that,
okay.
I mean, if you want to come up with a draft ordinance and you just want them to have come up with recommendations, that doesn't, I mean, you guys, two guys to decide. Yeah. I'm fine.
So I think we should give, direction to staff to do the research, come up with a draft ordinance, and then after public comment, if we want to modify it, we can modify it, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Is that good? All right, we'll go with that as direction right now. Is everybody on the board agreeable to that? Okay, and then depending on public comment, we may change direction. Secondly, the inventory process and documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that's come up both at the Utility Advisory Committee, and I know it was going to come up
finance,
later in the Finance Committee. So, and I think it's for obvious reasons that, it's not just because of the one issue we have going now, but it's been something that's been identified as being a missing component in our procedures and policies. So I would think that that's something that I don't know that we even need direct staff to do, but I think that that's something we do need to have come back to both those committees, which is an inventory, for lack of a better term, I call it an inventory strategic plan for maintenance and replacement. I don't know what you want to basically call it, but,
That, when we were discussing it, it seemed like it came back that, well, we have the information here, and we have, we have our current CIP, and we go through this stuff, but the information that we need is in this document somewhere, and staff, it just needs to be continually updated, and it's a living document, and once you do that, you can, staff, all they have to do is prioritize what they think is, important, and you basically have your strategic plan and your CIP right there. So
why don't we just direct staff to go ahead and?
I just don't think we have a policy that tells them do this and that.
Why don't we direct staff to go ahead and prepare a policy to take to your two committees, the finance and utility advisory?
Well, finance we discussed too. That there's two things missing: is that there's no vehicle sinking fund established to put money into from the revenues, and also there's no maintenance fund to draw from. And that's just missing, and so that's part of this whole process we have to.
Well, staff has heard this. I mean, staff has heard this. They were in attendance at both your committees, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So can we just ask staff to go ahead and prepare a policy to bring to both your committees based on the discussions that both those committees had?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that makes sense. I mean, it's real evident, and we'll see it later on in our agenda tonight, that this is a missing part of our policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's exactly what we're recommending.
Let's go ahead and do that. If we have some public comment, we want to adjust that. I assume we can do that also. Then that will bring us to the Finance Committee. I don't know if you have anything left now.
Well, other than that, general action item 6, we'll be discussing the big work truck. And we did approve or bring forward the warrants and the financials. This is for general comment or discussion for the public to know is that all the minutes now are the same format for all committees, and we have the larger annotations so that there's more detail, And also at finance, we get copies, draft copies of the other two committees so that we have something to work with that's been missing in the past. And so other than that, I'll defer to 6A. Keith Swanson from the subcommittee will. So thanks to Phil and the committee.
Anything else? Okay, then we'll move to the last item, other reports, director's announcements of district community interest, and reports attendance of other public meetings. Obviously, everybody knows by now that I attended the California Special District Association meeting last
week. Oh, really?
Week, yeah. But I think the interesting thing was there was a lot of really informative sessions, and both myself and General Manager Morrow attended. And I think the one thing that really, that both of us looked at in detail and attended all the sessions on, was the idea of having a special district created for the seawater intrusion issues. So there was a number of sessions on special districts. In fact, you got a handout on your front here about ballot measures. It was in the CSDA magazine for this month. So that's one thing that's on our back burner that we're going to be looking at as part of our strategic plan for next year. But we did attend a number of those sessions, and we made a lot of good contacts. So we actually, I don't know how we did this, but we got an attorney who's in a firm that specializes in doing this, has actually volunteered to give us some free advice. So I think we did pretty well on that regard. So I think that meeting went really well. It was the first one I've ever attended, but I thought that it was very, very informative and instructive. So
I think all of the sessions had some merit to them. There were a lot of issues such as the pension reform, which had a lot of activity. Actually, they had to have a second session on that. But the beauty of this is that they had some set breakout sessions that help us with our insurance premium, because SDRMA is our insurance carrier, and if you go to ones that talk about using their information, their resources, how to handle disability claims, any of the things that would be liability related, they actually give you credit for that. And then when the annual premium comes up, they have a point system, and so we can actually reduce our amount of insurance just by having getting informed on how to protect the district. So I thought that was great too.
And the other thing that came up in regard to SDRMA, which is our pool insurance that we just joined last year, Merle Cliff, who's on the Cambria Community Service District, he's actually the vice president of that organization, and we discussed the possibility of doing one of those point-gaining sessions in the county. So we need a minimum of 12 participants, and he was hopeful he could get at least four of his board members. I committed to at least four of my board members. So by doing that and spending a half a day in that session, that gives us points to reduce our premium for that policy. So that's something we're also pursuing. So I think that's going to work out really
Which
well.
Four?
I picked myself and then three of you. One of you guys gets the cop out. Okay, we already discussed future agenda items. Oh, I did have an announcement, and I really apologize if I could put this in there now. I was supposed to do this in the beginning, and I really totally apologize for this, but I'll throw it out now and at the end. Since the agenda item does talk about district and community interest items, on Wednesday, October 17th, that's Wednesday, October 17th. South Bay Community Center, which is where we are right now, is hosting its first game night. Beginning at 7 p.m., there will be games of all kinds, free for all ages. So be here or be square. On Saturday, November 24th, the South Bay Community Center is having an arts and crafts and collectibles sale to raise money for the community center. That's Saturday, November 24th. The event will begin at 9 and end at 4. So both those things were South Bay community events. So we need to patronize our local community center. So I apologize for not bringing that up at the beginning. I will bring it up at the end, though, again. So that brings us to consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull an item? I know we don't have a lot of consent calendar items. Okay, so if we don't have anybody to pull any of the items, then we'll go ahead and take comment on the administrative reports, committee reports, and consent calendar items. Public comment?
Lindy Owen, I wanted to just also announce that there's a pizza fest here at the community center as a fundraiser for people helping people. who does a lot to help seniors and does a weekly food giveaway. It's only $5. You get a piece of pizza, some salad. I think there's live entertainment. It's a lot of fun. So it's next Thursday, the 11th, at 6 o'clock here. So bring your friends and have some pizza. I wanted to go to the administrative report. Supposed to be doing is bringing us into this whole, you know, three-year process. When we go to the status on the ISJ, thank you for the report, Mike. It didn't give us much information or hope. Is the ISJ discussing this? I consider it extremely serious when we talk about forming a seawater intrusion committee. If we're not reusing our water, and if we're going to dewater 7 to 9 million gallons every day for 2 years, is the ISJ going to work with is the county coming forward to present any kind of a decent plan for reuse? Because currently they have none. Brodersen is 400,000 gallons going into a seawater plume. There's six farmers that are dry land farmers that might want it. So I think that's extremely important for this district that makes its money serving water to be involved in finding out why the county wastewater project is willing to lose all our water. And I'd like to know if we're having a 218 for the Nacimiento potential, if that's what's coming, let's be informed. And then I do support the seismic testing. I mean, we are, we have a Parks and Rec part of our CSD, and when people want to go down to the beach and there's dead things floating and slime, we should comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Hope time's up. No.
Yes. Richard Margetson. I want to get through with a bunch of things. So I'm still looking for the correction in the minutes for emergency services number 4 that I mentioned at the finance meeting. It hasn't been corrected. And I was under the understanding that you were going to, and whoever it is, appoint the ad hoc committee to look at the level of service so that information could be available for budget hearings in case that was going to be a budgeted item for next fiscal year. And the more time, whoever ends up on that committee, you know, I would love to be, but we need as much time as possible. It's as complex an issue as the water rate study. The other thing I want to focus on is this ordinance, this emergency water ordinance. I think you're jumping the gun. You have to have a nexus in order to put the ordinance in place. I mean, to actually enact the ordinance and make it effective and have a component to base your findings on. You're talking about spending money on police. You're talking about spending money, you know, staff time is money. Aren't we going to get a lot of this information, and isn't a lot of the consensus on where we are with the basin, what our safe yield is, you know, the county's working on the water conservation component. We don't know where the numbers are going to be when that's all said and done. Through the ISJ process and the basin management plan, I think you're way ahead of the game. I think there's components in there that need to be looked at as far as, you know, equity issues, you know, justification for raising rates, you know, what the mechanism is going to be for whether, you know, what the threshold is going to be for how you raise the rates. Is it going to be by household? Is it going to be by size of household? You know, if you set, you know, 5 units per month, is it going to be equitable for a household of 2 to be under the same purview as a household of 7 and have the rates jump? I think you're way ahead of the game. I think it's a waste of money at this point, and that's why I asked for you to hold off until you heard public comment, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of duplication that's already in the process. I mean, we've had documents done, the Madawis report, the recycled management plan, that have numbers in there as far as where we are now that came from the purveyors and what you know, where we are, you got to get to the point of what is available compared to where we are with consumption and what that safe yield is.
All right, thank you. Julie?
The IS joke and the cloak of litigation. I'm just flat out tired of it. You know, in March, this district gave the process $35,000 with a March 30 deadline. Come and gone, and now it's probably going to be March 30 of next year or some other time in the future. You know, it was a faith-based benefits us. A little bit of a too long of a discussion of whether or not to take up the seismic testing. That's absolutely in your purview. First purview, you are elected to represent. Second purview, you are a Parks and Rec Commission. It's one of your seventh powers. We don't have any parks, we don't have any recreation, but we do have beach access. This project will have impacts, economic impacts on the community. People are already feeling the loss of fishing ability and the ability to make money. But you have a purview. Cambria, Marshall mentioned it, Cambria is a CSD also. Their concern is for the elephant seal and the tourism dollars that are brought to that community by the elephant seal. So you do have purview. I didn't hear anything of late about the nitrate removal grant at South Bay. Where are we with that? Are we still hopeful? And I had thought I heard that the Prop 84 grant, and I might have them confused, was rejected. And I know we spent a lot of staff time and money, and that was the 8th Street, I thought, the 8th Street grant. We spent money. We hired Wallace, I think, with a not-to-exceed $3,000, and for what?
Okay, thank you. Frank, do we have any other speakers after Frank? Glenn?
Frank Cilio. My first question is to the acquisition of that report, the seismic report. Do you have it? If you don't have it, do you plan to request it? If I can get an answer on that one. On the fire department, Chief Venares, in his next meeting here with us, if you give a report, the responsibility of the motorist when emergency vehicles are on the road with their lights flashing under different road configurations. The other issue is that you're talking about the seismic testing. Our aquifer goes under the sand spit out into the ocean, and I think it goes about a mile out. And is there going to be any effect to our aquifer by them doing this testing? And I think that needs to be looked at. Is there going to be effect to that? The other thing I have a question of, the clarification from Marshall. I always thought it was the chair's responsibility when there's disruption in the in this room to deal with that, not the responsibility of any board member or staff member. If you clarify my understanding of that. The other thing is the at the LOCAC meeting, when Supervisor Gibson responded to a question regarding the state will keep all the money that is generated by the kiosk that's going to be built or is going to plan to be built, that they're contractually agreed to keep it here. And I don't understand that because you can keep maybe $1 million here from what they receive in payments, but then there's other money that the state budgets for the parks, and they can cut that money and say, well, you're already getting $1 million for fees to go in the park, so we're going to take $1 million out of the general fund that we normally give you. State can do, and it does, actually does anything it wants. If it wants to break a contract, it will. And I don't understand why the county thinks that they're going to follow through on that. And I think that's it. In the future, when there is that planning of the kiosk in there, does this board feel it's in their preview to write a letter to the Coastal Commission, whether in favor of the kiosk, not in favor of the kiosk, and the regulations to go with it, or take a neutral stand? Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Gwen?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. It's above and beyond my belief that you would even recommend Cleese Harris again when all of the information, not all, but the majority of the information that they submitted to the Madaus report was in error. They did not even have all of the well sites that are pumping water out of this basin. And that is a very important site of disrespect and also disingenuous reporting. And I am very surprised that you would even consider using them again. As well as in many instances, the Wallace Group, since we are not getting what might be considered a fair shake on that. As far as the Los Osos Community Services District and the, shall we call it, site and the responsibility for obtaining a permit regarding the building as well as a site, according to the report at the RAC. Now, as far as I am concerned, the RAC is not always correct. I am not saying that. But some of the information that they project is fairly confident in their reporting because it goes to the Board of Supervisors. And in so going to the Board of Supervisors, it says that reduced funding for the Los Osos CSD 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well and Nitrate Removal Facility and increase the backfill of funding for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. There was an allocation of funding that was supposed to come to Los Osos under the grant of the earworm. We're not getting it for this project. It states in here how it's going to be allocated throughout the time.
Yeah. Is there any other public comment? We'll close public comment. I think there's a basic misunderstanding on the grant funds there.
I'll be happy
there,
to explain.
So if we could clarify that particular
I'll be item. Happy to explain.
You're talking about two separate grants.
Right. It's okay. There are two grants that are going on simultaneously. One of them is South Bay Well, and that is a denitrification process. That is an additional $500 square foot building next to the well to remove the nitrates, and they take the brine away and haul it off. That is going, and then what we do is we take that water and we blend it with the lower aquifer, and it's much better because the denitrification is a septic problem that we are trying to utilize the upper aquifer to help protect the lower aquifer from the seawater intrusion. So this is a very important process. We are in the midst of getting a grant, which was an 84, Prop 84 grant. That is from the California Health Department.
That's what's on the Planning Commission.
That is going on the Planning Commission on October 11th. As well as there was an emergency meeting of the RAC, which is the Regional Water Advisory Committee, that Napomo Community Services District did not pass a 218 for increasing their water rates, and so there was $2.3 million that would not be utilized because the voters of that area chose not to go along with a supplemental water. So they had an emergency meeting, and the district went to 8th Street to submit a grant, again, another Prop 84, for a well as well as a denitrification process. So there's two denitrification processes. Again, as an upper aquifer, we would remove the brine, we would do the blending, and use that the water from the upper aquifer to prevent any more seawater intrusion that we can try to help prevent from tapping into too much of the lower aquifer. That was submitted. In addition to the wastewater project had asked for approximately 5.8, well, actually asked for 7 million and got 5.8, I believe. So that's $5.8 million that was granted to the wastewater project to alleviate $5.8 million in the prohibition zone. That was grant money. That's not loan money that needs to get back. We had high rates on the 8th Street well and denitrification process project, the grant application. We, because of the wastewater project and that grant, it was recommended to shift the funds to a more countywide, where they went to the city of Paso Robles and to Shannon. And so we did not fight that because we want the prohibition zone to get as much money as possible instead of having to pay out to the county. However, the 8th Street well and denitrification process is already a grant. It's in submission. There's another round called Phase 2. Those applications are due on October 31st. This is continuing over. We got high points the first time. I'm anticipating getting high points, and I'm hoping that being a team player where it's a countywide and looking at the good of everybody, we'll be granted that. I can't forecast that. So it's very confusing, but what the district is trying to do is look at the upper aquifer and looking at opportunities for funding outside. So it's automatically applied, ma'am.
That's what
hey, no, we're done with public comment here. Thank you.
And then I'd also like to answer a couple other questions.
I just want to make sure this is crystal clear. Yes. There's two grants we're talking about. The one grant is the one that's going to the Planning Commission next Thursday, and that's the one where we're dated and unenforceable. So the question about nexus for creating one, I don't think really is the issue, because isn't it in effect already?
It is. There is an ordinance in our books it's active. It's what we currently have, but it is ineffective.
The district does have an ordinance that covers this, but you have to make specific findings under that ordinance in order to declare an emergency. Okay. Now, what I think staff is being directed to do is to review what's on the books now to see if it needs to be updated. And we can do that, but that doesn't mean that we're activating or declaring an emergency in our water base.
No, they're looking to do revisions.
It's simply to revise this ordinance to make it functional. Okay. And I think working on it, even if it's very basic, and I think we can make changes to it that'll make it more functional, and we can expand on it as we go through this process if we want to.
My question is, if no emergency is declared, how is it functional?
I think we'll quick comment on that. Our current ordinance is essentially based on our getting water from a reservoir as opposed from wells, and so it doesn't sink for where we get our water from.
Okay, but if I understand, let me just try to understand this a little bit. I understand we have this in effect, it's in our ordinances, but it's not in effect because we haven't made the findings that there's an emergency situation to have it take effect. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what you guys are asking, though, is not to put something into effect, but to look at what the ordinance is, correct?
Correct. Correct. We just need to set the criteria that says, how do we know we have an emergency? We don't have anything to measure it by right now. Currently, it's written to say when we're 10% low.
Right, because it's based on reservoir.
We don't know when we're 10% low, so we can't activate it. So we just want to come up with...
Could I maybe take this on a different approach, because now it's becoming more complicated than I had envisioned in the beginning? Could maybe we just refer this back to your committee to have you guys come up with a more detailed, for lack of a better term, issues list that we can discuss in more detail?
I don't think I could get more detailed than the committee's already done. We've been looking at this for 2 years now.
committee came up with a good recommendation. This last meeting, we thoroughly went through it, and we came up with between staff, Margaret was there, gave good input, and I think we came up with some good places to start. To start doing, and we've got research, we've got some ideas of how to trigger an emergency.
Yeah, I'm confident with the representative from staff at the Utilities Committee meeting and the discussion that happened that they have indication of what needs to be done. They just need the board to direct them.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe staff knows what they...
The staff comfortable?
I mean,
we're not talking about committing one staff person full-time on working on this,
right.
But I think it's worthwhile if I understand.
We just need to direct staff to be able to do the things that the UAC lined out, and that's all. I mean,
well, I would think if they could respond to the concerns that you guys have and, you know, be able to say, yeah, you know, this is a, you know, the 10%, I'm just picking something or whatever, and just get back so your committee can have a more educated discussion. Isn't that what you're really asking for?
That would work.
Well, it sounds like you're just trying to make it more relevant to us specifically.
I mean, if I understand, like, again, let me beat a dead horse here, but my understanding is this ordinance is in place, but it's not in effect because we don't have an emergency situation. So this is just a fallback position if we declared, for lack of a better term, an emergency situation. Yes or no?
Yes, the ordinance provides a framework for you to review a situation and determine whether or not it's an emergency.
Okay.
And it can be updated, and I'm familiar with other such ordinances. So, I mean...
We're not talking about it.
We're not declaring an emergency.
No, we're not talking about declaring an emergency. We're talking...
No, I know. We're not talking about declaring emergency. I want to make that crystal clear.
Yes.
We're not in any way targeting. We're talking about an outdated ordinance that's in a...
Yeah.
You guys, do you have direction, or what do you want to do?
I thought we already gave direction. Yeah. I don't want to
Do we want to change it or not? That's
no.
The point.
No.
All right. Seeing none, all right, we'll stay with the last direction. Did you have something to add, General Manager?
You want to put a timeline on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the direction that was given prior to the public comment was about drafting an ordinance. I think I just want to make clear that are we bringing the recommendation of some different types of ordinances, or are we drafting an ordinance? Because our agenda gets posted tomorrow and...
Proposed revisions to the... Well, you're not going to have it by next...
You don't
week.
Have...
Yeah.
No, this
okay.
is not something...
Okay, then we're fine with that.
Yeah, not... No, not... No.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, any other discussion before we beat this horse to pulp? Okay, so with that then, can I please have a motion to accept the administrative reports and committee reports and consent calendar items, including the direction given to staff?
I so move.
We have a motion by Director Wright and a second by Director Muthart.
Yes, I
Vice
second.
President Muthart, now Director
I have a comment.
Baltimore, yes.
Yeah, public comment was there was a correction to the minutes in here. Can that be put into the motion?
Yeah, let's make the minutes as corrected.
Yeah, let me state something that seems to be a concern that's been addressed twice now. And the public needs to know that the FAC meets on Monday before this Thursday, and the agenda is produced to the board and to the public on Friday prior to the FAC.
Right.
So while it wasn't acknowledged that there was a revision at the minutes, which was an error, during the committee reports, that there is no changes that are being made unless there is supplemental information distributed. So there's a time gap there that we cannot correct what we've issued out to the board unless we do a revision and distribute it.
All right. And
that finally, so.
But that motion was passed, so we should do it as amended.
All right, we will do that. That's included. So any other discussion? Roll call, please.
So is it changed?
Roll call, please, Amy.
No,
clarification, and just for clarification, please, it was the FAC that had corrections to the minutes. I heard in the public that it may be thinking that it's ESAC. Those are going to the EASC for approval the next time. This direction is to receive and file.
Right. We understand that. I thought that was clear to everybody. Okay, Ann, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Muthart?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, we'll move to our general action item, which I know is going to take a while.
Well,
Yes. Let me comment on that. I talked to Phil about that, and we're going to deal with that at the next ESAC meeting because he has not had time to prepare his information he wants included. But my goal and intent on that is still, and I apologize, that was on my list. My goal and intent on that is still to have that taken care of within the next 30 days, but I'm waiting for Phil to get back with me. So we will hopefully at the next ESAC meeting lay out the parameters for that, and then we'll make the final appointments on that at the first meeting next month. So I want to keep that on task for the budgetary year of next year, and I apologize, that was on my list, but I missed it. Okay, so we have 6A, which is the award purchase of a new utility vehicle from specifications stated in the issue request for quotations, RFQ.
Thank you. President Ohilski and members of the board, the agenda item before you is a continuation item from the last board meeting. At that time, staff was requested to award a contract of an approved RFP, a request for quotation for a utility truck that was surplused. In September, President Ohilski appointed a subcommittee to review the 1999 Ford F-350 truck and present its findings to the Financial Advisory Committee, the FAC, and so the board could make a decision tonight. Much work was done during this month, and I want to thank the subcommittee consisting of Bob Semenson, Chuck Sneed, and Keith Swanson. They spent a considerable amount of time in examining and researching options for this vehicle. Staff worked with the subcommittee to answer any questions and supplied them with information for their analysis. After receiving the subcommittee report, staff reviewed the report, asked questions, and prepared a second agenda report with three options. Motion one, the motion that was continued, purchase a new Chevy 3500 at $34,810 and sell the Ford truck at a price to be determined, which was estimated at $12,000, but I think that's a little optimistic. Motion two, had some questions since the FAC meeting. Are the cabinets salvageable? While this is possible to weld anything together, the cabinets and bed are one piece. We did take the truck to get an opinion from an auto body shop who stated that anything is possible. Staff can evaluate all the options after tonight's direction. Also, staff took the time to have a mechanic give a quick analysis of the truck to make sure that it was mechanically sound enough to invest the money that we were asking for, which it is. And so this concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions. Mr. Swanson's in the audience as well. And I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, first I'd like to defer, unless somebody has a question of General Manager Morrow, I'd like to defer to Mike at this point because it did come out of his committee, the financial advisor.
Well, yeah, I mean, the subcommittee did a really, really good job, and I want to have Keith come up and highlight it. And it was unanimous in FAC that instead of a purchase, we do a repair for several reasons. The truck is, it's got very low miles. Chuck Sneed prepared a chart, and it averages 16 miles per day, 16 and a half miles per day. So the last year, 2011, it was driven 1,506 miles total. Okay, so we think there could be, there's a lot of variables like we were talking about, but at this point, I would like to defer to Keith to give the report.
Wait, you're giving us each an iPad with the presentation on it?
Right.
I like that.
Gosh, I swear. I came prepared. Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I don't know if you've read the committee report. I'm just going to hand out these photographs because the photographs that were with the report were just the underside of the truck. And the photographs just show the condition of the seat, which is just torn, and there's some foam showing. Something that with the comparisons that were presented by staff, you know, there's different variables that weren't carried over, like the lesser amount, do you need to replace the seat with a non-OEM seat, or can you just cover it, or can you reupholster it? So those amounts actually could be less for each one of those options. The things that we still didn't know when the Finance Committee took this into consideration is that there was this question about the transmission, the condition of it. They said it had to be replaced, but we have no evidence to indicate that it does. It hasn't been serviced. The records show the last service record is 2004. The rear end is a new thing that came up after we had already initiated our review and came up just before the Finance Committee. And I'm not sure if you took it over to the body shop, I would assume it's Los Osos Body, if they even did an estimate, because there's the rear cab light that faces the bed of the truck, there's a little bit of rust underneath it that could be repaired, and it's probably a nominal amount, probably $500. It's very cheap to do, but, you know, I just put the worst-case scenario of $1,500, but I think $500 is more reasonable. And the fact that the truck has approximately 28,000 miles on it, it's a V10, and the fact that they bring up the rear end after, or the differential, after they said that we had need to replace the transmission makes me think, because when I talked to Frank, he said it kind of acted funny when it was going up 11th. Well, that could be the differential. That could be all kinds of things, but transmission shouldn't be the final conclusion, and I think it's prudent that we find out what the mechanic said as far as the current status of the truck, if they said it's worth reconditioning, which I think for this district, you're way ahead of the game, and we've already, you know, even the money that we have in reserve, we're going to still have money in reserve when we're said and done. So if you have any questions, there's some other things that I'll bring up, is that towing. There's no need to tow this truck over to Fresno or to Paramount, wherever we decide to take it. Two men can drive it over there, drop it off, and come on back, and the same when it's ready. I thought that the truck bed that was in Fresno is the same manufacturer, and obviously they do undercoating now, and they do a lot of other things to prevent the rusting from occurring. Plus also there should be some, when the truck is in the yard, if there's rust that appears, do something about it. Spray paint it, you know, get some Rust-Oleum and take care of it. It's just simple, real easy maintenance issues could be taken care of by staff, but one of the critical things I think was, as far as maintenance, is that we take the truck to a shop, a certified mechanic, for oil changes. So when they're looking at it, they're also looking at the vehicle to see if there's any other issues that might be coming up. Hey, your brakes are 50%. Now all of a sudden the brakes need to be replaced. We had no idea of that. But that's, to me, shouldn't be considered in this, because that's just a typical maintenance of a vehicle. So that's it.
Thanks.
Terry is so small compared to a lot of other service districts and utility districts that, you know, our trucks are going to last a lot longer here. The only thing is we've got to watch out because we're on the coast, so we just got to maintain it that way. So I think, to me, and I'm not a mechanic, but they've taken it there, the truck's got low mileage. So that's, to me, is a real plus.
Question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, Craig.
I'm just trying to figure out, does this have a split differential on the back, what I call posi traction?
I wouldn't know.
We don't know.
I mean, it's got dual wheels in the back, you know, dualies on the back. It's probably a heavy-duty everything on that truck.
You should just go with the I don't know answer.
I don't know. Yeah.
With the tank.
Okay. Any other questions? Again, I'd like to thank you guys for all the work you did. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think the one good thing that's come out of this is the fact that we're now pursuing the maintenance policy, and which came out.
Yeah, and I know that was beyond the scope of the committee, but it was just a blaring, you know, glaring thing to us that, hey, you know, what's going on here? We need to take care of this, too.
Well, that's why we're doing the maintenance policy. So that's the one good thing that came out of this, at least so far. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jen.
So we have public comment on this item. Anybody? I'm not going. Gwen.
My name is Gwen Taylor. Our CSD is not financially in a position to go out and buy a new truck. We're still in bankruptcy. We are having a approval for a development of a new building, metal, on property that we own. We have numerous bills that are going to be coming up in reference to the sewer project. The CSD must be frugal like the rest of us. And for the monies to come back to this CSD for a truck that can be retrofitted and used for a long period of time, it may have 5, 10, 15 more years. We went through this once before when we had a fire chief who wanted all the toys that he could possibly purchase, and we went into debt. We don't need to go into debt when we don't need to have a new toy. We can have a retrofitted piece of equipment that will be more than adequate than what we now have. One of the main things is this continuing lack of control over the servicing of the truck is abominable. You should have had this going on long before this. It's after the fact, yes, but beginning today, or if not last week, start in keeping records of the service of the truck in whatever it is at all times. You do it on your own vehicles if you're smart. Why should it be any different for the CSD? We don't have money to throw away, and it needs to be taken care of expeditiously. Do it.
Thank you. Lindy?
Lindy Owen, the purchase price of almost $35,000 definitely seems extreme for a vehicle that just, I forgot how many miles it puts on a week. It's not enough. Was it 11 miles per week or something?
16,
okay. I drive a 63 Volkswagen that I put probably 4 miles a week on now. I urge you to consider getting this into a high-end, a decent mechanic, get it evaluated very carefully to make sure what it does look like. It's gonna, if it's a nickel and dimer, we might want to just postpone it till we get ourselves out of this bankruptcy, and we're not doing well financially. If we're going to lose our solid waste franchise and we're going to lose our water basin, we've got some planning ahead to do, and I don't see any point in being having the fancy toys that this CSD years ago took on over and over again. And I urge you to get some spray paint and some duct tape on that seat and a nice seat cover and good mechanic. Thanks.
Thank you.
Plastic, black carpet.
I think we can do a letter better than duct tape, but
yeah.
Vinyl seat cover is good.
Richard Margetson. The vehicle replacements wasn't part of the original discussion when we established the rate structure. That came to us late in the game. The original rate increases that we started out with were either 9-10% between buying a new one and the 21,000 that they say is the max. But right now, every penny counts. Every penny counts. That's why I brought up the issue about, you know, the ordinance, not hiring cleats for a few thousand dollars. All that comes out of the utility budget. It's an enterprise fund. It has to pay for itself. The other thing that I find real interesting is, as this process proceeded through the process, and the two committee members can probably attest to this, things cropped up as it went along. First it was the bed and the transmission. Then the differential was added. Then the brakes needed thing. Now we heard tonight, you know, two other things have happened since the committee looked at it and the finance committee made the recommendation. You know, it seems like it's weighted in the staff report, and staff recommendation is, you know, let's just get a new vehicle. If this vehicle can be made sound at 28,000 miles, you know, I haven't had a transmission repair on my vehicle, and people don't believe how many miles are on mine, but I have 234,000 on mine. If you maintain a vehicle, you can get a lot of life out of it. And I still think there's life in this vehicle. But it needs to be maintained. We need to change the policies. And this is saving the district money because we don't know what's coming down the road. Rate increases and ISJ cost.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie, is anybody after Julie? We'll close. Oh, you can't get back up. You already had it. Okay.
He's public now. First he was committed. Julie Tacker, I drive a car. This 1995 has 249,000 miles on it and no rust, and it's been parked outside in Los Osos its whole life. So I don't know how we got rust unless we weren't maybe waxing, washing regularly. I don't know. But I kind of see that obviously we've neglected the maintenance on this vehicle, and we're really just playing catch-up now. And it will last a lot longer, and I hope we do that. Something you said earlier, Marshall, when you came out of closed session, something about how bankruptcy discussions and things are getting really expensive, and you, when we were talking about possibly having this special meeting for seismic testing and having experts, we don't have the money. And so I've been sitting back there thinking about some of the things we do spend our money on. And, you know, we gave a $200 donation to Beach Cleanup Day. If the district isn't sound, that's something we need to be talking about in a larger scope, because you really can only go bankrupt once, but if we're going bankrupt again, we need to know that. And certainly, I mean, that's extreme characterization, I'm sorry. But, you know, let's have that discussion out here in the public. How much is the bankruptcy bleeding us? And, you know, and then we need to be penny wise. And I think you will be with this truck. The recommendations are good from your committee. So have a good night.
If Frank Celia, whatever decision you come up with, whether you get a vehicle, a new one, or maintain the old one, repair the old one, is to come up with an adequate schedule maintenance program for that. Like others said, they've had vehicles. Richard said his is 234. Mine had almost 200,000 on my little pickup, a little Toyota pickup, parked outside the whole time here in Los Osos, and I didn't have any rust on it. And the only reason why it didn't go further than that is that somebody hit me and it was totaled. So I think it's important. I think the preventatives are very important. And if you don't have something already drawn up in your maintenance rules, I think that needs to be covered. Thank you.
Okay, you get the last word, Keith, but it better be that.
It's real short. I just wanted to say the $21,000 mark is, I think, the worst-case scenario. I don't even think we're going to get there.
Thank you. Okay, so with that, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion. We'll go to the Financial Advisory Committee first. Mr. Wright?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it was a good decision. I think it was a lot of deliberation.
You mean a good recommendation.
Good recommendation, excuse me.
I just want to make sure what decision we're talking about.
Not decision, recommendation. And I think, you know, in light of the fact of the missing maintenance program and the miles that this truck is used, it's a waste not to...
You're asking, like, if we took it away for 2 weeks to get the bed installed.
I understand it's a little bit longer than 2 weeks, but
okay.
Yes.
Well, okay, yes. Well, there's a couple things. One is we have to put in consideration that we do have this wastewater project that's going to be breaking ground, I'm told, Monday. So there are a couple options that we can do, and we're going to look at the most cost-effective things. If we can work around not having a vehicle for a period of time, you know, when we have the 2 to 3 weeks, we can do that. I've looked in rentals for a month. They don't rent them any shorter than that. And then we also might have the opportunity to get some commercial vehicles from Wallace Group on a temporary basis if they fit our needs. So, you know, if we can do without, we will try to do without. If we can't, then we would have to pay, you know, $1,000.
So we have to pay what?
$1,000 for approximately a month's worth of rental.
This size truck.
That's from United Rental.
So the maintenance, the yard is, they've given you input on having the truck out of commission for, and they said they can work with it?
Well, no, we're going to work with it. We take the direction from the board, and we will implement the policy any way we can do it. And, you know, so that's why I'm asking for up to $21,000, because we don't know. We want to get the mechanical work done first so that we don't have to tow it. And if we can work everything out where we can be out of commission and live with it for 3 weeks, we will. If we have to borrow a truck from Wallace Group at a lesser amount, if we have to rent one for insurance purposes for $1,000, then we would do that.
Okay, that's sufficiently foggy. Okay.
Well, we do have how many other trucks?
We do have a total. We have 5 workers and 5 trucks.
Yeah. So I think we can get by.
Okay. Another comment is
I
that.
Can't wait. Can that, really, we can't hear, so I need to go ahead, Chris.
Is that, again, there's a question between whether it's the transmission or the differential. And we do have, I know for fact, like American Gear in San Luis, that's all they do are differentials.
Okay.
And so we do have that resource of people to look at it, and they could tell you exactly. And again, that's all they do. I can't figure out why we have such a big truck.
It was bought in 1999.
Okay, but with that.
Really? Seriously. If you can't control yourself, you're going to have to leave, because we're just trying to get done here, okay? It's the end of the night, and let's finish.
But I don't know why the recommendation is to buy new big trucks.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, this truck is the one that's used to carry all the tools and things. So this is what the staff had recommended. The crew wanted.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, the load that this truck, the weight that it carries, you know, that's called half ton, one ton, three quarter ton, and they make lots of smaller engines that work all day round. You know, it'd be the 1500, your 150. So, you know, just it's not justified to me why we need to replace it with the same size truck.
And
that makes absolutely no sense to me right now. So if I have to make a decision on buying a new truck or repairing this, then I cannot. It doesn't make sense to me why we have such a big truck. And so repair what we have.
Right.
But if we want a new truck, you got to justify why we need that size.
Right.
And simply just what's on the back, it doesn't merit, from my background on the engine, doesn't merit the size of that engine.
Okay.
So if this is my choices, it hasn't been justified to me why we need that size engine.
Thank you. Vice President Moot.
Because we do.
Yeah. I'm not. I guess one question is, did we ever consider just getting a trailer to haul our tools around and put these things on here? Or, were we not using an engine to haul our, you know, that way the truck would be, we could only just pull the trailer out when you needed the tools. And then you're not, it's kind of like the RV where you have fifth wheel or truck, you know. You're using a huge engine to haul around trucks. It looks like it's a little more, you know, of a utility thing. It's got the vise there and all that stuff. But
well, it does. It does tow some other equipment. So that was, I forgot that is one thing that it does.
Oh.
Which one?
The backhoe.
Yeah.
Well, that makes
what
sense.
Is it tow?
Okay. The backhoe can grab it.
Yep. But it does.
You know, the direction that seemed like we could go. So I kind of agree with Director Baltimore, replacing it with the same thing doesn't seem reasonable.
I mean, you basically have four options. The three options available that are laid out in the staff report are do nothing. But we need to do some. I mean, we need to move forward on one of these.
Well, I think we have to repair it. I think we can't do nothing. Having it broke down is worse than getting it fixed. And I think I agree with Keith, it's going to come in a lot less than the 21 once we get a good evaluation on what it is mechanically is going on.
Well, and if it doesn't come in under 21, then it's going to be back to us. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So it comes back to us. So
you're going to make a motion then?
If we're all done with comments, I'd like to move the board direct staff repair the existing vehicle in the amount up to $21,000.
And can you add in there, Mr. Wright, that
yes.
Have the staff bring back a resolution to take it off a surplus and to reject all the RFQs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So motion as amended. It's seconded by Director Vogel.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Yes. Director Baltimore.
Again, just a little bit of clarification. For when I vote on this, is that again, it's not made clear to me why such a big truck is needed again with such a small area. You know, it's pulling a backhoe. Well, backhoe can be driven a mile around here. So, in lieu of justification for such a large truck to purchase a new one, if we want to keep the same size, then we'll fix the existing, especially since it's the lowest cost option.
Any other discussion? We're done? Okay, can we have a roll call, Ann, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Vice President
Newton?
Yes.
President Yes. Okay, with that, then, that brings us to the end of the agenda. So our next meeting is November. Oops, excuse me. Yes.
Our next meeting would be November 1st, but we are going to be working with LOCAC to see if we can have a joint meeting or a special meeting.
Well, our next regular meeting is November 1st, so if there is a special meeting, we'll post that. November 1st, and then do we have any closing comments? I have none. Director Baltimore?
Yes.
He's got a page
of stuff. A couple comments made by public, and again, I want to thank our public. Some comments are always presented well. I think it was a good idea that about having Dig Los Osos give an update. I don't see why maybe they couldn't be added to our committee reports at the very least. Having that representative here, or just giving our staff a short update of what has changed on the website, the map of what's being, the areas are being dug and worked around. That's part of what's on Dig Los Osos, is a map of the areas are being worked on and how the roads have changed. That just map just gets put on the monitor real quick. But somehow if we can sort of point to that information each, or if, even if it's our staff to just give a quick, look at it.
I think let's have staff look at the way to be able to help communicate that information. So they can, that's something that they can get back and see what works best.
Okay. And then another item that I don't know if it's an agenda item or staff to look at, but because I did get this also this same feedback from the county that it might be that your lateral connection from what is currently planned may have to be moved because, this part of just doing what's called a remodel or a rehab. I mean, things are existing. So how does what is the process if you find out that the information that is currently on the plans is incorrect? How do we as citizens communicate that and work with the county to know that it's been updated? Because most of them will be correct, but you will find exceptions to that. So if we can make that to our citizens, make that clear, that'd be great. And again, I guess that just might be a direction. And, so the other two items we've already talked about. And so thank you, and good night.
Thank you. Director Wright.
Okay. I just had one kind of a question. Since we have such success with our stuffers in the water bill, have we included Dig Los Osos as information, at least for our customers?
Cost money then.
Okay. I know, but county will pay for it.
Staff can, I don't think they would pay for it, but staff can ask them.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Well, we can ask, yeah. And I do like the idea about having a link on our website for the PG&E ground testing, I mean a link on that. Also, just remind everybody again, October 13th, the fire department open house at Vaughn.
I don't know if we're going to have a special meeting with regard to the seismic testing, but, I got back my thought. Mimi came in earlier and talked about... She had a three-minute time limit, right? She was questioning whether the county is using good information with regard to the lateral connections. And that's a real important issue, and I think it was important for her to bring it to this meeting so that it can get out to the community, because there are a lot of people who need to bring these questions to the county and need to bring it up before something bad happens, because planning up front for these contingencies is how you avoid a lot of problems down the road. She was going to wind up with a grinder pump that she didn't need. And that's the sort of thing that could easily happen if people aren't diligent in asking these questions. So I want to urge the community that with regard to your laterals and the connections to the sewer system, ask first. Because if you have questions, or if you don't even have questions, maybe you should have questions. So in any event, do ask these questions and contact the county to get some answers.
Just real quick for Mimi, because I'm looking at her memo here. I don't know if it was an email or not, but somebody might want to let her know if you see her that if she wanted to, she should probably put her name on it, because I don't see her name on there anywhere. And kind of. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention that remind people that October is rideshare month. And one of the things that I found out is that the RTA eliminated the bus route from Los Osos to the Trader Joe's area through Los Osos Valley Road. So now there's only one bus route, and it goes through Morro Bay into downtown San Luis Obispo. So pretty nice to if you're so inclined, let RTA know that is not very nice. So, and try to support Rideshare Month.
Okay. I just again want to thank the rest of the board for working with me and getting my award, and thank staff and thank the community. So with that, then we'll go ahead and adjourn till November 1st with our next regular meeting, and we will get back to you about scheduling a special meeting in the interim. Okay? We're adjourned. Thank you.